Let's chat.
Radio Disney talks to special guests from around the bay with something to say. Let's find out who we've got today on Let's Chat.
And welcome to another episode of Let's Chat here on Radio Disney Bay Area. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that involve big changes in education. So with me to help me out is Colleen ARU, who is the president of the California State PTA, and Ted Lampert, who is the president of Children Now. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning, Hugo.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Doing great.
Can we get a little bit of background as to how you guys kind of got involved? And obviously, you guys are working together to help this program out. So I'm going to start with you, Colleen. How did you start out with the California State PTA?
Well, actually, I started at my children's school. So after my daughter completed kindergarten, one of the other parents asked if I'd be involved. And I said, sure. And so I did some programs at the school. And then I came to learn that there was this whole association called the California State PTA. I went to the first PTA convention. I eventually took on more positions of responsibility until I find myself now as president of the association. What really resonates with me is PTA is concerned with the welfare of children and families and positively impacting those kids and families. Our only special interest is what's best for kids. I'm very passionate about that, and it excites me. And there are so many opportunities for us as parents to make a difference for our kids.
Wow. And I'm sure it made some difference in your kids' lives. I mean, what are they doing now?
Absolutely. My son is currently working full-time, and he's getting his degree online, interestingly enough, in liberal arts. So it depends what he'll decide to do eventually. But for now, he decided to go back and get his degree. And so now with all the technological opportunities that are available, he's real comfortable in that format. And so that's what he's working on. My daughter graduated from Fresno State University with a degree in criminology and victimology. And she met a gentleman overseas, got married, and now she lives in Scotland. And she volunteers for Victim Services Scotland in the United Kingdom. So that's pretty exciting. And for the first time, my husband and I are going to see our grandson in June. So we're very, very
pleased. Congratulations.
Thank you
very
much.
That. It's always nice to hear the story later on, like how your kids turned about. And then because during, you're just like, ugh. I know my mom had those moments with me. Thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome.
That's an interesting perspective. And next, we're going to go with Ted. Ted, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
All right. So you're part of the Children Now. And so how did you get involved, Ted?
Sure. Well, first of all, I got three kids, but I'm in the stage.
You're still there.
They're 17, 15, and 11. So great kids. But it's actually part of why I'm so passionate about my work at Children Now. So this is my third career. I was a lawyer, and then I was a politician. I was actually in the state assembly in Sacramento. And one of my frustrations as a politician was we weren't doing enough for kids. And I felt we weren't pressured enough to do right by kids. So now what I do, I run an organization called Children Now. And we're all about how do we make sure that policies are made so that every single kid in the state has a shot to reach their full potential. And so we put out reports. We work very closely with PTA, and then we push people in public office to do right by kid. And, you know, I say I'm passionate about this because of my own kids, because, you know, as all parents know, it's tough raising kids today. And my wife and I have so many advantages, and it's still a struggle. And I just realize how many, you know, parents and kids out there don't have the advantages that my kids and my wife and I've got. And we've got to make sure that every single kid has the support that they need.
I love that. I like the fact that it's all about giving back. That's really great to meet people that are willing to, you know, put their time, because it is their own time, and sometimes it's volunteer, and sometimes you don't get paid. So, I mean, I think that's very interesting that you give back, because I remember my mom always said that if you ever do make something of yourself, make sure you give something back, because you'll never know what kid would be in your position that you were as well. So I think that is very admirable. And so you guys are from two different programs. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but the California PTA, what is it that they do? What's their program?
So California State PTA, we have almost 800,000 members throughout the state that are part of almost 3,600 school PTAs. And all of them are volunteer, as you mentioned. And what the PTAs do at schools is they support the programs that are happening at schools. They help with field trips and book fairs, reading programs, science fairs. They support teachers in the classroom. They provide parent education programs, art programs, science, technology, engineering, and math support. And so they're very invested at what's happening at their local schools. At the state PTA, we support those parent leaders. We help them with communications tools, newsletters, e-publications. We also do a lot of leadership training and support. We have an annual convention, and we have a very robust website with a lot of resources for parents. And you can check out some of those resources at www.capta.org.
It's a good summary, and you threw out all those numbers. I was like, wow, that is a lot of people. That is huge. And you said it's volunteer.
That is correct, yes. And anyone can be a PTA member who cares about the health, education, and welfare of children. So you don't need to have a child at school. So we have many members who had formerly children at school, or who are administrators or working in areas, allied agencies, that all support the health, welfare, and education of kids.
Wow, that's great. And they could also get more information on how to volunteer in their area via the website?
Yes, they can.
All right, perfect. Once again, that is capt.org. Make sure if you guys are interested in learning more, make sure you go to the website and maybe volunteering. You'll never know. A few years down the road, you might be the president like Colleen was. You never know. All right, Ted, how did you get involved with Children Now?
We've been around for 25 years, so I've been there for 9 years. A way for folks to get involved, we've started something called the Children's Movement of California, and someone can go onto our site at childrennow.org, and a student, a parent, an organization can sign up. And what we're really trying to do there is there's so many fantastic groups. Certainly the PTA is the leader. Lots of other groups out there, student groups, parent groups, community groups, religious-based groups, business groups that care about kids. What happens, though, for those folks in Sacramento, if they hear from 500 voices, they get confused. So what we're trying to do is have everyone try to speak up at once with their own organizational and their own way of saying things, but all saying at the same time, let's make sure we improve education. You know, let's get better health care for kids. So the Children's Movement is a way to have a really strong voice for kids. Folks sign up, they get our updates, and then people can opt in to joining in campaigns. In addition to using it to push politicians to do things right, we also share information. So one of our big campaigns right now is foster care kids who age out of the system. So kids who are over 18 are eligible for health insurance until they're 26. They can go get it for free and sign up. It's really hard to get the word out to kids who have aged out of foster care and to say, here's how to get that health insurance. So we have over 830 organizations that are part of our Children's Movement Network right now, and thousands of individuals. So we're getting the word out to all these different kinds of organizations saying, hey, make sure you get this word out so kids who have aged out of foster care know they can get health insurance. So it's both an information sharing and then also a way to influence folks in Sacramento.
I think it's helpful to have something like that. It seems so complicated when any teenager hears healthcare and kind of the process that you have to go through. So being able to give that resource of this is how you can go through the process and we can help you out with it is definitely very helpful. It's very great. And now kind of going to the changes that you guys were talking about. So what are some of the big changes that are going to be happening in the California system for the schools?
Well, right now we're seeing a couple of things going on at once. Right now, in California classrooms, teachers are teaching new Common Core state standards in English language arts and math. And what those are meant to do is help our kids with their critical thinking skills and to really prepare them for 21st century education, to help them be globally competitive. So rather than have standards that are what's known as a mile wide and an inch deep, these standards really go deeper. So kids really think about the why behind their answers rather than just rote memorization. So that's one thing, the new state standards. The other thing is a new funding formula in California called the Local Control Funding Formula. And what this does is it puts more control in the hands of the local school districts to formulate plans for how they intend to spend funds. So they'll receive funds for every child based on their grade level, but they'll also receive additional funds for students that are on free and reduced price lunch, or students that have English language learning necessity, or students that are foster students. So PTA is really excited about this new funding formula because for the first time, local communities, particularly parents, will have input into the school plans on how the services will be delivered to students. And so it's an opportunity that that PTA has been advocating for parent involvement for 117 years, but this is a real opportunity to make a difference in the local community so that the schools are really responsive to the needs of that community. And that may be, you know, if that community prioritizes small class sizes, arts programs, PE programs, this is an opportunity for the school district to be very responsive and to take that all into consideration.
I think that is great that you said that it's very local. Not every community is the same. One community might look at something like, you know, funding for healthy food, or somebody might do it for physical education or the arts or the sports program or, you know, after school programs. So I like the fact that it's each community. And you said that it's a really huge deal, 117 years that you guys have been fighting for.
Well, PTA has been in existence for 117 years, and we know the importance of parent engagement, because when parents are engaged in their kids' education, children do better in school, academically and in their lives. There's less absenteeism. Students are more engaged while they're at school because they know that their parents value education. And so what we've always intuitively known, now the research has borne out. And so this aspect of having parent engagement in local plans really excites the PTA. And we really see this as an opportunity for parents to share what their priorities are for not just their kids, but for all kids in the community.
Now, when you talk about parents getting involved in this whole, you know, controlling the funds, is it the school going to monitor it somehow, or is it, how will it kind of manage itself? Because, I mean, it sounds like a great idea, but then you, like you said earlier, Ted, you have like 500 different voices coming in at once. Is there going to be some type of structure?
Yes, and the structure will be through the accountability plans that will not have to just address how the school districts respond to parent engagement, but also how the school districts plan to ensure that all students learn the standards, ensure that they have adequate facilities and materials, ensure that their attendance rates and student engagement is there. The plans will be looking at how the student climate is and other priorities for those districts. So through those accountability plans that districts formulate every year, at the end of the year, they will have to report out to the community how they did in all of these eight areas. And then at that time, also explain how they intend to make changes or adjustments or rebudget to address the need.
Yeah, and just to pick up on that, this is really a exciting new change. And, you know, for the young people listening out there, I want to tell a story because I'm old enough to remember how California used to have a more locally focused system, like now we're going back to. And I was in fifth grade. I went and spoke for our local school board because kids were falling down in the playground and there was a lot of sand on the ground. It was a pretty simple thing. And one of my teachers said, well, the school board decides how things happen. Go talk to it. And I was so nervous, but I went one night and spoke up at the school board. And the next week, they brought in some big sweeper thing and cleaned out the sand. I was like, wow. Now, that's actually my biggest victory and advocacy. It's been downhill since. No. But the point of that story is students can also engage. And that, as Colleen was saying, that the state's going to set standards, which is really important because it's not fair to kids to go through education and then realize, wow, I'm not ready. I don't have enough to get a good job. So the state sets standards. But then the local school board decides, like Colleen was saying, you know, how do we best meet those standards? Do we do more in arts? Do we do more here? Do we do more here? And how do we make sure that our students have the help they need to meet these standards? And so the school board's going to have a much tougher job now than it used to, because before, Sacramento made almost all those decisions. And if you were a school board member, you could say, I'm sorry, but those folks up there decided. Now, the focus is really on them. So, you know, it's really an opportunity for parents, for students. And like Colleen was saying, you know, even if you don't have kids into school or you're not in school, you know, you should care about making sure your schools are really strong. So in essence, this new law is shifting a lot of the focus to the local schools, which sounds pretty obvious, but what a lot of people don't realize is that for the last 40 years, we had really shifted most of the control to Sacramento.
I think the great thing about it, it's a direct line. You no longer have to go to SAC to make a statement. You can go straight to, you know, your school board and whatnot. It's more direct. Essentially, you're kind of like taking out the middleman in a sense. And you said since fifth grade, look at you. Tom, you knew since a young age you were made for this type of stuff. Look at you. Since fifth grade.
Well, a teacher can make a big difference. I always thank that teacher for making that suggestion.
And I think that's another important part is teachers do make a difference. I mean, whether, because you can always recall from a young age, like a teacher like made you love that. And I think teachers do have a great effect. And I think parents can have a great effect too, not just at home, like get your homework done. And like you said, calling parents that are much more involved with their kids, they do tend to, and I'm a testament to that. My mom was always on my back for me. She's like, Hugo, have you done your homework? Hugo, have you done this? And she always made sure that I was in a program, because back then, I think it's funny because when I say back then, I make it sound like I'm so old, but it was, it's kind of like back then, like we weren't that big on internet and whatnot. And so my mom was always like, you know, go out and do something, go out and play, go out and be creative, go out and do something. And now I look at my sister and she's just like on her phone like this. And I'm just like, do you not do anything? Like go out, ride a bike, you know, roller skate for all I know. So that's very interesting. And these programs, I mean, you as parents, if you're in your local area, what would you want to see done in your local area for kids? Tommy, you're a parent who's still in that age group still, but calling like grandchild, like what is it in your area that you would want to see some of that fun going to?
Well, what's really important to me is that our children have a well-rounded education. And so when I was growing up in San Francisco public schools, we had not just a pull-out instrumental music program, but we also had a choral program. And for our gifted and talented program, kids would stay after school and design a play and put that play on for the other students. We had cook from scratch cafeteria. We had a credentialed school nurse on campus. Our kids today, our parents are fighting for all those things that make up a well-rounded education. So while we absolutely know that English language arts and math and science are all important, all of the other things that contribute to students' academic success are important.
And I'll just jump onto that first ditto. Agree with everything Colleen just said, and to just add on to that, and I don't want to make it sound like everything was so great in the 60s because we had a lot of problems then, but when I was in the public schools growing up in San Mateo, not only did we have great teachers, and we have great teachers today, there were a lot of other adults around the school helping out, and that's what we've lost. So we had a school nurse for our little school. Most schools today in California don't have a school nurse. We had, you know, a counselor that could support you. We had someone going classroom by classroom screening us for vision and for dental. I actually had a speech impediment when I was a little kid, and it was someone coming to our classroom, checking that out, that helped me and then talked to my parents to get that fixed. So this is pretty common sense stuff, but what I want to see as a parent is, you know, first great, great teaching, high expectations, but then also, you know, folks at the school, you know, like Colleen saying, are well-rounded, and then plus music and drama and art. So I think that's what every parent wants for their kids in their schools, and we've been really going the wrong direction in California. I should say one other thing. This local control is fantastic, you know, the more input, but what's really key also is these things cost a lot of money, and this new law provides some extra money to some districts. As Colleen said, if English language learner, kid in poverty, foster care, your district's going to get a little extra money to help some more. But this law doesn't change the fact that California school spending is way too low. It's below most other states. So what we're really hoping is as folks get more engaged and they go to their school boards and they say, we need this and that, plus we need early education, you know, kids need to have good childcare and preschool. As folks realize all these things that it takes to have the support today, everyone's going to say, wow, we need more support to do this, and that we can all come together and figure out a way to get more funding for our schools, because that's also really needed.
Well, what I want to go on is what else is important about the new law? I mean, we talked about the parents, like the importance of the parents being involved. Obviously, the biggest thing is extra money for certain programs, but what else is important about the new law?
The districts, so first of all, the school districts, as I hinted before, this is a big change. And so I think as you know, parents and students hear this, They need to get involved and put pressure on their district. Also recognize that their district is adjusting too, right? So this is, so like as Colleen said, these districts now need to come up with local plans. They're going to have a lot more decision making. And so folks need to understand that. That having been said, it is really important to make sure that your district, by district, I mean your school district, your school board, your school administrators are really listening to the community input, are really engaging folks, and you know, making sure that those districts that do have extra money for kids in need, make sure they're getting that extra support for those kids.
And you mentioned that funding in California is pretty low. I mean, what is that? You said it's true, but what affects it that it's so low? Because, I mean, I remember, like, my mom, I could remember saying that, you know, California used to be one of the best school systems in the whole United States. So why has it gone so down in terms of funding and spending per student?
Yeah, and Colleen, I know we want to add this too, but there's no one answer. Prop 13 obviously had a huge impact, and because it took the focus away from local property tax, which is how most other states really strongly fund their schools. But the other part of it too is just priority. I'm going to give you a statistic that is probably going to make most folks listening, if not everyone, a little frustrated. California is a relatively high tax state, meaning mm-hmm. if you look at the other 50 states, we rank number 11 in state and local taxes. So we're pretty high in how much money we take in. Do you know that we're near the bottom in what we spend on education and children's health? So think about that for a minute. We get more in than most states, but yet supposedly kids are our top priority and we spend less on kids. I'm still trying to find someone that agrees with that. So it's Prop 13 is about, but we need to really put pressure on our governor and elected officials to say, hey, wait a second, we should at least be 11th in the country in funding for education if we're 11th in mm-hmm. revenue. There's no excuse for us being near the bottom.
And the interesting thing about the funding formula is that we won't get back to 2008 spending levels for another 7 or 8 years with this new formula. So I think as parents and as community members, as folks get more engaged in seeing exactly what programs and what curriculum is offered in their schools, to start asking these questions, because as Ted said, collectively, our voice is very powerful. And as PTA, we collectively know that despite the opportunities that the new funding formula presents, the adequacy issue is still very much on folks' minds. And so we don't want to lose sight of that. And we also think it's absolutely unacceptable that California be 50th in the nation on what's spent for our students when we're one of the, you know, practically a world economy in ourselves as a state. So for our kids to really be college and career ready, to be competitive in this whole global economy, we think it's really important that education as an investment from preschool through college, it is an absolute priority.
I love the fact that there's also a lot more in terms of teaching. Like, I know you guys have been fighting very much so for it to be put to practice, to be practical, like having projects for people and, you know, programs that put you in those situations. So that way you're not only, like you said earlier, memorizing something out of a book and then never really using it, but just kind of remembering it. I can remember like geometry. I remember some theorems, but I don't remember the whole practice of it. And so I think that's very important that you guys have been doing to make it very hands-on. I think this is a great hands-on for parents to get engaged. And what would you recommend? How would you tell parents to get engaged?
Well, I think first of all, as Ted mentioned, parents will need to ask questions of their school board and their school administrators. You know, how are you hearing our voice? What opportunities do we have to make a contribution here? I think parents talk to one another. You know, it's a great social support system. So parents talking to one another about these new developments and letting each other know, hey, you know, our voice matters in this process. Continuing to find information from our websites, from the PTA websites, from Children Now websites is super important. And also speaking with your children's teachers and asking your teacher, how are you delivering the curriculum to support these new state standards? And what changes are we seeing in your classroom as a result of these new funding formula and accountability plans?
Definitely that kind of engagement. And then going back to your point about hands-on learning and relevant learning, you know, Kelly mentioned at the beginning about these new standards and what's called the Common Core. And PTA and Children Now and lots of other folks have been saying, you know, let's make sure we implement these new standards. And what's great about that ties into what you were saying. I mean, at Children Now, there's 30 of us. And my colleagues and I, you know, we need to be able to write and think and work in teams, projects. And that's the work world today, right? And I think we've gotten a little away in education where memorize this, memorize that. You know, that's not really the skill that's needed as much. So these new standards, and this is a whole nother change in addition to this local formula, but I think, you know, most teachers really like it because it's just a more exciting and interesting way to teach is, you know, how do we teach students skills to work more in teams, to take an issue or a project and then, you know, combine science and math and English to come up with how you're going to address that project. So it's actually pretty cool. I think it's just much more relevant and fun and interesting way to learn. I mean, the only caveat is that there's a lot changing. I think all the changes are good changes. We just need to be mindful that there's going to be some bumps in the road next couple of years, but parents shouldn't get frustrated because the changes are in the right direction. So we just got to all keep, you know, moving in this direction and making sure we stay on track.
Played sports. I remember when a coach told me, when it's going smooth, don't get so confident. Because when it goes smooth, then you always, never... Yeah. Yeah, if it's too smooth, then, you know, something might happen. But if it's like, it's got a little bumps in it and, you know, it ends up working out because at least you know how to overcome them. And now we'd like to welcome one more guest to give us the school's point of view. We have Dr. Ramona Bishop, who is a superintendent for the Vallejo City Unified School District. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing well, too. We started talking with the California State PTA and Children Now about the new local control funding formula. And from the school district side of things, what does this mean for our kids and our schools?
This means that for the first time in a long time, we have some money to go out to our community and figure out how to spend so that we could properly educate all of our children. So this is an exciting time for us in education.
So is that the part that makes you most excited about the new law, is the ability to dictate what it is that you guys can spend on? Because like I mentioned earlier in the show, I said that I think this is a great initiative that it's all local and it's all based around your own community, because every community is affected differently.
Community is different. Every school is different. And our city is different than, you know, another city. So this gives us an opportunity to look at the 8 priority areas and figure out how we can impact student achievement in multiple ways. So we've already actually started our conversations and we're hearing some great things about, we're actually hearing some honest things. So we don't just want to hear good things about what we're doing. We want to hear what people really feel will help impact the outcomes for our students. We want all of our students to be college career ready. So that's our focus.
I think it's very great that you have these systems already in elementary school, because I know in elementary school or middle school, we didn't really talk about that as much. We didn't talk about, you know, what are your paths for college or what are your paths even for high school sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, implementation in the school systems from an early age, I think is very, very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, our young people are asking for it. So I've started doing student group and student conversations with middle and high school students, and they are saying to me, we want more information about how to go to college and how to become, many of them want to be doctors right now. I hear doctor a lot. And so they want to start early on that path to being a doctor with the right science and math courses. And they want us to spend more time as educators focused on how to get them right into that college that they desire.
And you said that you've already started. So what is your school district doing to engage and inform parents about these changes? Because there's a lot of changes.
We started back in November of last year, starting to just roll out just what would this look like when, you know, all the legislation was still kind of being talked about and the new money was starting to roll. And we just started educating people about what it was. We sent letters to every parent and family in our community. We have 14,000 students. Oh. So we sent out 14,000 letters to every household and a survey to every household so that we could find out from everybody, regardless to whether or not they showed up to our informational meetings. We wanted to know, to give information to everybody about what this is, but also get information in a survey from our families about what they thought would be most useful, the most useful way to spend this money. And so far we've collected over 6,000 surveys from our parents, and we have a summary of all that data, and now we're going back and having conversations with everybody about what we found in the survey data and how that matches with our students student data, and we're in the process now of thinking about a plan. We're already in motion.
That is great that it's not only coming from the parents and, you know, and the people that are helping out with the school, but also from the kids themselves, that they want this opportunity and they want these things to be shown and grown. And I think that is one of the best things about this new law, is the ability that these kids have to just go straight to the source instead of, as I would have said, taking out the middleman. You know, they said mm-hmm. that Sacramento was where you had to go in order to get anything done. And so giving this local power, and I think you guys are doing a marvelous job already starting up and, you know, having a plan. And do you have an idea of when these plans hopefully could be set into place?
Yes, in March, we're holding a big parent and student conference. And so that initial kind of ideas are going to be out for the whole community to see at that conference in March at one of our high schools. And they'll have an opportunity to weigh in, like, are we on the right track or are we not? Do we need more of this, less of that? And once we get all of that feedback, we'll put it all together and then we'll start kind of holding our public hearings and just making sure. We'll put it on our website and we'll give people an opportunity to comment on it. Then we'll go to the board for approval. We'll align our budget and we'll be ready to roll it out next year.
Dr. Ramona, thank you so much for joining me this morning and, you know, telling us, you know, from your point of view, what you guys are planning and your action plan essentially for this new law.
Thank you so much. And I enjoyed my time with you. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I want to thank Dr. Ramona Bishop for joining me this morning. And I also want to thank you two for joining me this morning, Colleen and Ted.
Thank you, Hugo.
Thanks.
That's it for us this morning. Make sure to stay tuned for next week for...
Let's Chat, right here on Radio Disney AM 1310.